Hey, VBackLink family, it's Lily, and I was wondering if I could ask you a really quick favor. If the VBackLink has ever helped you, encouraged you, or taught you something along your birth after cesarean journey, I would be so grateful if you would vote for us for Best Podcast in NoCo Style's Best of NoCo Awards. As a Northern Colorado born and raised mama myself, this is especially meaningful for me. It takes less than a minute to vote, and we've linked it right in the show notes. Every vote helps more families discover the VBackLink, bringing more awareness to VBack education and support. Thank you so much for cheering on our little team. We appreciate you more than you know. So go to the show notes, click the link to vote, and then come back to this episode for another incredible episode. Hello, Women of Strength. Welcome to the VBackLink. I am your host, Lily, joined as always by the lovely, the beautiful, the knowledgeable Paige Hager. Hey.
Oh, well, hello, everybody.
If you're watching on YouTube, I just need you all to know that it has now gone from day to night for me. So when you're watching the episode that was recorded, it was like there was daylight still, and now it's 9 p.m. So it's now dark and I'm a mess because we're going camping this weekend and this week. And I just was running around all day and then always forget that we have video on these recordings and feel a little self-conscious about my like sweatshirt hair situation.
Nah, you guys just are here to come hang out with us. We're just cozy girl talk.
Yeah, welcome to motherhood and my blanket and my heating pad that I have, even though we're recording in the middle of June and it is hot.
And my Star Wars shirt, hello?
But ooh, I didn't even notice that.
You know, this is boy mom life. I have been all educated about the Star Wars, Mandalorian, Ninja Turtles, Pokemon, Lego life.
That's the life we live over here. Brecken, for his first Halloween, was Baby Yoda. I'll have to send you a picture. He was so really cute, Baby Yoda.
So,
okay, well, Women of Strength, today we're really excited because we have Nina on today from Baby Chick. She is a longtime doula and educator and just like, honestly, Paige and I were talking about like she's way cooler than we are. So we're just really excited for you all to tune in. I think these conversations are awesome. Paige, you have a fly flying on your microphone.
Did you hear the buzz?
No, I saw it on the screen. Okay, back at it. Nina is great. And I think these conversations flowed so well into like, what does it look like to build your village and to also be a villager in the village for moms and also some insights on her 15 years of doulahood and VBack and supporting that. And so I'm just really excited for you all to tune in. Before we do that, Paige has a review of the week, and then we'll be back after our intro with Nina.
I do. My review was left, maybe a week ago. It's very recent. Hello, our fly is back. Okay. it's on Apple Podcasts by Crystal Moran 16. And it says, love the VBackLink. As a birth doula, I found the VBackLink podcast after my first VBack client recommended it to me. After just a few episodes, I knew I wanted to take the doula course too. I spent months listening during every car ride and learned so much along the way. Taking the course deepened that knowledge even more and gave me so much confidence in supporting VBack families. I'm really thankful for everything the VBackLink team shares through both the podcast and the course. Aw, thank you, Crystal. Oh, we love that you listen. We love when we hear that birth workers listen, providers. And even in our Facebook community the other day, somebody joined and answered the questions, and they were a mom wanting to learn how to support their daughter hoping for a VBack. So I think it's so great when you open your ears to what VBack options are out there and to get more educated so that you can be a better support person for those that you love.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Speaking of building your village, we're going to talk about that more with Nina in just a minute. We'll be back. Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBackLink podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBack.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same: to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider. Women of Strength, welcome back. We are here with Nina, the baby chick. We're so excited to have you and to learn from you. We were just chatting a little bit off camera about just all of your goodness. And we're just, Paige and I are like perked up and ready to listen. So I'm going to read a little bit about you and then we're going to get into today's episode. So Nina Spears, also known as the Baby Chick, is the founder and CEO of Baby Chick, a trusted digital resource for modern mothers navigating pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and motherhood. She is a certified baby planner, birth and postpartum doula, childbirth educator, newborn care specialist, infant massage instructor, and perinatal nutrition expert who has worked with more than 800 families in person, thousands virtually, and has supported over 350 births over the past 15 years. Woo, girl! Nina is also the host of Chick Chat, the Baby Chick podcast, and the author of The Baby Chick Guide to Positive Pregnancy, which just published in June 2026. So as we're recording now, it's not out yet, but it will be when this episode airs. And through her work, Nina is passionate about helping women feel more informed, supported, and empowered as they prepare for birth and parenthood. Wow. Okay. So much to unpack here. Welcome, Nina. We're so happy to have you.
Oh my gosh. Guys, thank you so much for having me. I have been looking forward to this conversation. So honored. Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing. Okay. So I want to start with, you've been a doula for 15 years and we were starting to have this conversation like a little bit. And then we were like, oh, wait, let's pause. So tell us about what life was like as a doula 15 years ago and kind of how you got to where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started, I got into this before I had kids. I think that most people get into this work after they have children. And so I'm a little weird. I got into this well before I even knew my husband, So I started working first as a baby planner. And if you guys who are listening, you're like, what the heck is that? Basically, think of like a wedding planner, but someone, and they, you know, help you throughout the whole engagement to plan for your wedding day so it's smooth and comfortable and think of all these things. Well, a baby planner does that, but throughout your pregnancy, so that when you have the baby, you just feel that much more like at peace because you've done the things that you need to think about and prepare for and all of that. So I was working with this mom and she was like, oh my gosh, Nina, you should come to my birth. I have a doula and you need to be there. And I was like, okay. And it was just the most, watching her daughter be born, it was the most amazing thing ever. And I was like, yep, that I need to do this. I need to do this. This is amazing. And like I was telling you guys before, it's, you know, when I started in 2011, I feel like so many people didn't know what a doula was. Like they're like, so like kind of like a midwife. And I know that people still kind of get that a little bit confused now, but not as much. I feel like everyone was like a doula, like doula oblongata. Like, what is this? And I was like, no. So I feel like we've made a lot of progress when it comes to letting women know that there's support available, which is so important. But I know, Paige, you were even saying like we take one step forward and a couple steps back and back and forth and back and forth. But I feel like, you know, our intentions, all of us, obviously, our intentions are good. And I feel like there's never enough doulas. Like we need all of the doulas out there possible supporting moms. So I love hearing and needing other doulas because it's just letting me know that, okay, we're making a difference. Like we are helping women's voices be heard, letting them be seen, just empowering them throughout that whole process, whether you're a birth doula or a postpartum doula, whatever that looks like. And yeah, I think good things are coming. We just, you know, have to keep at it, you know? Do you guys agree or am I totally off?
Yeah. And sometimes that's the hardest part is keeping at it, right? Like doulas have such a high turnover rate, high burnout. So the fact that you've done this for 15 years is so inspiring. Like I tell Lily all the time, I want to do this for the long haul. And I want to get to the point where I'm like so in my groove, yet always learning. And my goal with every single family is to just do one more thing. Because when you're a new doula, it's like, I got to have my business all perfect. I got to do this all perfectly. I got to have all my prenatal education like wrapped up in a bow and this. And it's like, well, at the very base of it, we love on our families. And then we can do one more thing and one more thing and one more thing. So anyway, I think for women listening who are not doulas, who are pregnant, preparing for a birth, that's how you can approach your birth too. Like, yes. Okay, this week I'll do one thing. Or, you know, like just in little bites.
Oh, absolutely. I say, you know, we are hearing a lot more, which I'm glad we're talking about this, the invisible load of motherhood. I'm so glad we're talking about this because moms carry so much. But what I don't think we're talking enough about is that that load happens during pregnancy and sometimes even before that, because all of a sudden now we're having to think about, oh, should I be eating this? Should I be doing this exercise? Should I be, which pediatrician should I choose? Am I going to go? Like, there's so many decisions that you're having to make and carry, and you're already working towards being almost that default parent. And that's where I'm so big on, no. We have to bring in our partners and the support team now, because if you start sharing that load during pregnancy, you hopefully won't be carrying it all in motherhood.
I love that.
That's so good.
Yeah, because it's just so heavy. It's too much.
Yeah, it is. It is. So this is, I guess, a little bit expanding on what we're talking about here, but as you've supported so many births, what is something, you're talking about support and roping in support people and all of these things, what is the thing that's missing in all of this for women that are preparing for birth? What are we missing to get us to a place where we feel like, yeah, I'm prepared? Because I feel like so much of our community is like, I feel completely unprepared. And that's how I landed here, you know, like I'm planning for a VBAC and I landed here because perhaps my first birth really threw me because I wasn't prepared. So how do we feel prepared?
Yeah. I think, oh man, that is a loaded question. Well, right now, I think that more women are preparing for the baby than preparing for being a mom. And what does that mean? I mean that there is so much, like the baby is visible. Like that we see, the baby's here, but motherhood, that's invisible. You are still that woman, and we are expected to be the woman that we were before, bounce back, like have it all together. Like there's no recovery. What's your hormones doing? Like that transition, that matrescence is just not really seen or respected. And thankfully, we're having that conversation now. So I think that's a huge thing, is that, you know, you're seeing the best swaddles and bottles and strollers and car seats and all these things that are supposed to make having a baby easier, but it's not easier because we're not focusing on the person who is raising that baby. The baby's fine. Like the baby's good. Give it a boob, give it a bottle, give it a diaper, you know what I mean? Like give it a safe place to sleep. It doesn't need very much, but you know what it does need? It really needs a healthy and happy and supported mom. And when she's educated in that, when she knows these things of, okay, I need to set myself up for success by setting myself up for this community around me. And if I don't even have that community, hiring that community, buying my village to make sure that I am taken care of. Because when we have a thriving, healthy mother, everybody benefits. Like the partner benefits, the baby benefits, because moms are, you know, the nervous system of the home. We are the foundation. We are all of it. And when we're taking care of mothers, homes are happier. Communities are happier. The world is happier. I've been saying this nonstop. Like, you want world peace? Go support a mom.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. My midwife has a shirt that says peace on earth begins at birth. And I just it's my favorite. She's wearing it during my birth. So like I see it in some of my birth photos and it's just like, I love that.
Because it's true. We are like the portal to life. I mean, mothers are just so powerful and amazing. And if we just gave that a bit more respect and that time to educate ourselves for what this transition is going to look like. And birth is, you know, that precipice of like catapulting us into this whole experience of becoming a mom. And so preparing for birth, but also really preparing for what that matrescence period is going to look like. And patrescence, people don't talk about how dads actually, their prolactin and estrogen go up and their testosterone goes down, and they can also have their, you know, we're seeing biology changes for dad. So yeah, recognizing that this is a big change that you're going to go through, and we need to support each other through that. It's like, stop worrying about who's holding the baby. Who's holding the mama?
So when you're talking about hiring your village, can you talk a little bit about what are your options for some of those folks that you might kind of loop in and rope into this village to kind of hold your mothering and postpartum journey?
Absolutely. Oh, so I'm located in the Houston, Texas area. So we have a lot of expat people who are here for oil and gas or the medical center or whatever. And so we have a lot of people who have no family, no friends, and they're having a baby. And so they'll be like, oh, Nina, I found you. So you're going to be the first person I'm bringing on into my village. And that's what I mean by hiring. And I know that when I say like buying your village, it sometimes gets people a little like, well, I shouldn't have to buy my village. They should just show up and it should just be happen. And I'm like, valid. I get that. I feel that. However, villages were never free, like ever. Like there was always a give and take. Like, if you want a village, you also have to be a villager. You can't just expect people to show up for you if you have not done that in return. And if no one really showed up for you, then be the person to then be for some there for someone else. Like start passing the torch so that we can start helping the next generation of moms. So yeah, if you didn't have a village, this is the time when you're like, all right, I need to prepare for my village for the next time. And what that looks like is, yeah, some people are like, oh, I think a doula is for everybody. I think every single person should have a doula, whether you have a partner or not. Like that's, everyone needs a doula. So I think having a birth doula is amazing. Having a postpartum doula is amazing. But also in the perinatal stage, maybe how is your health? Do we need to talk to a nutritionist? Do we need to talk to a pelvic floor therapist? Do we need to, I also like seeing a lactation consultant before you have your baby to make sure that you have your pump situation settled, like you have your flanges, like you feel comfortable and have a good general idea of what to expect. And then if something were to go wrong, like not wrong, but like just not starting on the right foot, you already have that person and that relationship that you can call and talk to. Also, here in Houston, we have a postpartum center that you can go and talk to a therapist who specialize in the postpartum time. And being able to know the resources that are in your community and saying like, you know what, I didn't think this was going to be as hard on my marriage or my partnership as much as I thought. And just already knowing, oh, I have lined up these people so that if whatever potential hurdle comes my way, I don't have to carry that alone. Because motherhood was never meant to be done alone. We were in villages, but unfortunately, we're not learning from our aunties and our grandmas. Like, you know, we're in a very atomized world in our own homes, all learning on our own. So that's what I mean by hiring your and paying for your village is like, okay, well, then if I'm not getting to learn from my aunties and the grandmas around me, then I'm going to go find the professionals who specialize in the things that I might struggle with. Like if you have a history of depression, you are more likely potentially going to experience some postpartum mood disorders. And not saying that that happens. I had depression, you know, when I was younger, but after my babies, I was very blessed. I didn't have baby blues or postpartum depression. So I don't want to say that it's like, oh, if you had this, like it's for sure going to happen. But I knew that I have a higher chance that I'm going to struggle with this after I have my kids. So I made sure that, you know what, I have a therapist that I can call and I can make an appointment if something were to go off, or I could do virtual support if I needed that I could just, you know, be able to decompress and chat. So that's what I really mean is just making sure like who can I have around me that will support me? And then, you know, I'm so big on, you know, us doulas, we're so big on like writing a birth plan, and not because it needs to be a plan, but to just inform yourself on what your options are when things don't go to plan. But I'm the same way with a postpartum plan. I'm like, okay, you want it to be like your baby sleeps super well, no colic, nothing like that. But what if things do go kind of off the rails? Who are you going to call? What friends are okay with you calling them in the middle of the night? Which friends are okay with you calling them during the day? Which friends are okay with bringing you food? Which friends are okay? And maybe it's not friends. Maybe it's neighbors. Maybe it's your community members. Maybe it's if you go to a church or a synagogue or whatever form of worship, you know, to come and support you, like having those people and letting them know, this is the time I'm going to need support. People want to support you. They just don't know how to sometimes. So if you tell them, I would love a meal. I would love for you to come and help me with my older kids. I would love for you to walk the dog. I would love for whatever it is that you need help with, and making that known, I think that that is so powerful, because I know that at least for me, the hardest thing was asking for help. Because for some reason, we think that if we can't do it ourselves, that we're like incapable or not good enough, which is so untrue. Again, motherhood was never meant to be done alone. So I think enlisting that support and that help and recognizing those things, making that postpartum plan, that's how sometimes, you know, we do have to hire that village.
Well, and vulnerability is the pathway to connection. And the best Amen. Friendships that I have made are the ones where I've been forced to freaking ask for help, because as a military spouse with my Yes. husband gone, it's like you just can't. And I remember when I moved to Texas and I had like a new couple month old baby, and my husband was scheduled to deploy in just a couple months for his first 9 month rotation. And we were brand new neighbors, and we shared a wall with my next door neighbor, and she had 3 kids at the time. Her husband was going to go on the same deployment, and she wrapped her arms around me and she was like, I will be here for you. It was our first meeting. And like that changed something in me that was like, that's what it means to be a village.
Yes. Yes.
And within the military community, that's something that we understand, where it's like, it's not give and take. It's not tit for tat either. It's I will pay it forward in a season of life when I can. And it's actually really funny, because my neighbor here, when my husband was also doing something away for a while, she would bring me dinner every single week when I was pregnant with my fourth. And she moved away. And another gal who was pregnant moved into that same house with twins. And I was able to pay it forward. And it felt so sweet to just like continue that. So it really, it makes connection so much sweeter when you're vulnerable.
It really
like
does.
That.
It yeah. really does.
Oh, I love that, Paige. I think too, like it's part of why our podcast exists and why
Amen.
We feel so grateful to have professionals on, but we've had IBCLCs and birth trauma therapists and pelvic floor therapists. And so also you can understand Women of Strength as you're listening, like, who are these people? Like, why should I see a pelvic floor therapist? And then you don't have to spend all this time Googling. Like, we care to be a resource for you. And biasly, we have some of my like personal favorite humans that have been on, like my IBCLC, who like is a village for me. Like you're saying, having that prenatal relationship, I knew her. Yeah. Because I had her with my first baby, but with my second kiddo, my first baby was like, oh yeah, I'm like, sure, I have a sure, like, give me some tips on latching. And my daughter was like, hell, absolute hell. I had mastitis or a clogged duct that turned into mastitis that turned into an abscess, had to go get it like drained. It was awful. And to like already know my lovely Angela and know that she was in my corner, to like already have the resource, already have the established relationship, was a game changer. Because I can't imagine having to go someone and be like, well, here's my whole history and here's my births and here's how it all went. And like, it changes lives. So, okay. Well, Nina, your book is about positive pregnancy, Baby Chick's Guide to Positive Pregnancy. What does it mean to have a positive pregnancy?
All right. Yes. So I don't think it's just like one thing. It's not like, oh, if you just do this thing, it's going to be positive. But what I'm all about is making sure that you're informed and that you're supported. And that's not just for your pregnancy. it's doing the work during pregnancy that supports you for your birth and your postpartum. So it's basically, my book is like a doula and a baby planner in book form that walks you through week by week and says, hey, have you thought about this during the week? This week, and maybe you should do this. And by the way, each week it gives the partner something to do or ask.
Amazing.
Because I'm very big on, mama, you should not be doing this alone. Like, no, get your partner in on this. And these are some things that they should be asking or putting in effort and supporting you. Like, this is a partnership. And again, I just am so big on, I don't want to continue the default parent, you know, landing on one person. I want this to be shared. I want you to have conversations and talk about things that maybe you didn't even think were important until after the fact. No. We're going to have those conversations now. We're going to think about these things now. So then that way, when the time comes, you both are on the same page, you know? So yeah, I'm super excited about this book. It's essentially exactly what I've been wanting my clients to have these past 15 years. And I'm super happy that it's going to come out into the world and support families and have a more positive pregnancy, because then they're going to be leading to a better birth and a better postpartum, which again, we need happier mamas. That's what we need.
We do. Yeah. It's true.
Wow.
So how do you, I love, first of all, the like having questions for a partner, I think is profound. I just feel like there's so much, and I think so many partners want to be that supportive person and they just don't know how or have the tools to. So like,
totally.
How incredible. So how do you, especially I'm thinking like all of our VBAC moms that are listening, there's so much, right, in the world of prep and research and how do I understand this and that. So how do you help someone distinguish between healthy preparation and like spiraling into research and overwhelm? Because I think that can really easily happen for our community too.
Oh, for sure. Oh my gosh. There's so much that needs, you could learn and go into a rabbit hole. I absolutely. And that's why I think finding good resources like, the VBAC link, I'm going to listen to their podcast and listen to this and follow this. And because when you start listening to everyone's opinion and all the things, it gets to be a little too much sometimes. So being able to say like, okay, these are the people that have done this for a while, who have really good resources, have also like, they match the way I want to parent, or they match my energy. And I just love Paige and Lily's energy. And that's what I want to carry into my motherhood. You know, just find the people that you like and trust and follow their guide, because you guys have done the work, you know, I've done the work. And being able to find people that you like and trust and saying like, hey, sister, we're here for you. Because yeah, when you start going through all of the information, like, you know, we're in unprecedented times where there's more information than we know what to do with. And it's just making sure that it's factual, it's evidence-based, it comes from, you know, Sally down the street is so awesome and well-intentioned, but that's just her experience. You're not looking at multiple experiences and research and supporting moms in different phases. And I'm sure you guys even feel this way, like your own, like I'm a bit weird because I was doing this before I had kids, but a lot of the women who do this, you know, first they're coming in with their personal experience and then seeing all these other women being like, oh, wow, oh my gosh, I didn't. And every birth and every motherhood experience is so different, you know, and being able to learn from these women who have held space for these moms, I think we can learn so much from each other. And so I think just finding the people that you like and trust and believe in and know that they're going to give you factual information, I think can just try not to spiral, please. Find those people and you'll be good.
Yeah. I tell my clients all the time, like, pick a source of truth and stick with it. Like,
exactly.
If you love this person and this is your person and you love their philosophy and you're aligned, don't go Googling all the other
things.
Options.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's so much that we can find on the internet. That's really scary.
Which, you know, also, like, I'm open-minded. I always love to hear other people's perspectives. But when you're in this phase of becoming a mom, you're already carrying so much, so many fears and hopes and expectations. And that's where I'm just like, yeah, like, just minimize. You're already carrying so much. Really, you don't need to add to that load.
Yeah, it's so true. Okay, I'm curious, with your baby planner hat on, as we're thinking about, like, moms who already have some, like, they've had a baby or perhaps multiple babies, what's, like, the thing that people are overlooking the most in, like an item or something that makes your life easier after you've had, now adding another kiddo into the mix? Like, what is your, like, baby planner advice for multiple tiny people?
Oh my gosh. I'm so lame. I'm more of like, you don't need all of this stuff. Like,
taking a quick break from our episode to share this important stat with you. Did you know a 2025 retrospective cohort study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology found that doula care was associated with about a 15.6 increase in VBAC rates compared to those without doula support? Lily and I love doulas, and we are doulas. The VBAC Link was founded by doulas Julie Frankham and Megan Heaton, who created a comprehensive VBAC course for doulas. It's fully self-paced, completely virtual, and when you complete it, you're added to the VBAC Link doula directory. You'll also earn 8 ICEA continuing education hours and become a VBAC certified doula. And if you're a parent looking for a VBAC Link certified doula, you can find one at thevbaclink.com/findadoula.
This stuff is great. And it's like, I just tried out like the new Eufy S2 Pro, and it's so cool. I love their new wearable, and I get to try, and it's amazing. I've tested thousands of baby products over the past, you know, decade. But at the end of the day, really, it's support. Like, it's so dumb and basic, but I'm like, the thing that women are not paying enough attention to, especially when they have more children, is like, okay, who's going to help me with my older kids? Because yeah, maybe my partner will, but I want my partner to be with me and my baby. Or, okay, no, I don't want my partner to be with me. I want my partner to be with my kids. But then who is going to be with me and help me with my baby? Because I don't want to be alone. Or maybe you do want, like, really thinking those things through. Like, when do you need support? How do you want to be supported? Because at the end of the day, most women do want support. It may look a little different for some women. Some women, you know, maybe want a week to themselves or whatever, but finding what it is that you need and really lining that out. Maybe they didn't realize, oh, the first week, it was just this, like oxytocin bubble I was in. It's just like baby vibes and, oh, amazing. And then that bubble pops at 2 weeks, and then they're like, oh, crap. Like, now I'm really exhausted. I'm still healing. I'm still bleeding. And my kids are now like, okay, is this baby going to go away? Or they don't care about the baby, or they're obsessed with the baby and won't leave you alone. Like, maybe thinking about, what does my support look like beyond the first couple of weeks? So, I mean, Lily, that's why I'm like, sure. There's like, oh gosh, yes, I love this bassinet. I love this co-sleeper. I love this swaddle. And these things are great. But at the end of the day, like, the biggest thing is I'm all about what's going to be best for mom. And I'm so big on nourishment. Like, who's cooking her those meals? I want her to have like nice, good, warm meals, eating regularly, fiber, hydration. Like, who has stocked her pantry? If not, who is making all of these meals and making sure that she's getting snacks regularly? And who's taking that baby from her for her to get a shower, for her to, you know, just breathe for a minute? And then also just like, let her soak up and snuggle and like bed rot a little bit with that baby and just enjoy it. Like, I want what she wants, but I also want her to know that support is there if she decides to change her mind. Like, oh, I thought I wanted this, but you know what? Actually, I don't. I want more of this. Because I think that we think we want something sometimes, and then it happens and you're like, oh, I should have maybe thought I maybe wanted a little bit more support a little bit longer. And I think it just, for me, it's always support. It's not a sexy answer, but it's the truth.
I think it is a sexy answer. I think it's radical in a world where women feel so alone. And you talked earlier about like being brave enough to ask for what you need. And that's so hard. And I'd say that a lot. My story, it was a lot of two losses, which is a lot for some and not for others. And I remember after my ectopic pregnancy in particular, like nobody knew what to say. And it was always so frustrating when people would say, well, just let me know if you need anything. Because it's like, I probably won't.
That kills me.
Like, I probably won't tell you if I need anything, you know? And so now as a friend, for my friends that are going through loss or my friends that are freshly postpartum, it's like, let me know if I can buy you coffee, if I can bring you dinner, or if I can take your kids to the park today. Like, can I give you some options to choose from instead of
that
just...
I am capable of doing.
Yes,
I feel
exactly.
capable of doing and confident to do. And I'm going to give you these options and then you get to choose what is best for you. Yes.
And I can leave them on the porch. You can see me or not see me. Like, how can we give those pieces of love, you know?
Thank you for that. Because, I mean, stupid... like example for this, but I feel like maybe people who like haven't had their baby yet and don't understand. So I'm planning my book launch party. I have had four people say, oh my gosh, let me know how I can help you. And I said, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I would love your help. How would you be able to help me? All four of those people did not have an answer to that question. And I have not heard back from them. I think people have good intentions when they say, let me know how I can help. But really, that just makes them feel better because they feel like they're saying something to help you. But in reality, that's giving you the load to carry to figure out how they can then help you. And that's not fair. And that really bothers me because I'm like, amazing, you offered this help for my party. I am now giving this back to you. How? Yes, I would love help because I have two kids, a full-time job. I'm on call. Yes, I would love your help. How can you support me with this? Zero. And I feel like so many moms feel that way when someone says, oh my gosh, you know, your husband's going out of town. Let me know how I can help. Like, oh, you know, Paige, your husband's being deployed. Let me know how I can help. You could help with everything, actually. Where can I begin? Let me write the ways. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I just am like, no, tell her what you feel confident in doing. So I love that you said that, Lily. Like, can I bring you coffee? Can I bring you a meal? Can I take your kids to the park? Those are very actionable, easy things that literally almost anybody can do, but it gives her an idea of, oh, you know what? That sounds exactly like what I need today. I'm going to call her up and I'm going to take her up on that. Because otherwise, we're not going to say, you know what? Right now, Lily said she could help. I'd love help with laundry today. I'm going to ask. No, we're not going to ask for that. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
So this is how we build our village. This is how you're a villager. Offer specific options. So that's how you become a villager. And then make a mental note of who does that back for you. And that's what I do now all the time is I'm like, okay, this person now did this for me and I know they'll show up. And so I'm going to just like put them in my back pocket and that's who I'm going to call. And without fail, when I need to go to a birth, it's like, bingo, first person, they always show up. Mm-hmm. So that's how you, like, if you're confused as to how to build this village, like what is this elusive concept that everybody's talking about? These are some practical ways to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I would also say, Paige, like, don't wait for someone to offer. Maybe if there's someone that you care about, offer first and say, hey, I see that you have a lot going on right now. Our daughters go to ballet. Can I pick up your daughter and take her to ice cream while you know, whatever? I can bring her home if, you know, you have a good relationship with this parent or whatever it is. Like, if you see there's a way that you can help out.
Anticipate the need.
Thank you. Yes. So then that way, sometimes if you wait for other people to make that first step, it's never going to happen. And if you want to start building that village, sometimes you have to be the villager first, even though you might need it more. If there's something that you can do and you actually feel like you're capable and willing and wanting to do it, be specific and offer it first, because then those people are going to be like, oh, wow, that was amazing. And I want to reciprocate and do that back, because I think people need to be reminded of what
what it's like to be a villager and to have a village.
I'm like so inspired to go help my friends right now.
I know, me too.
Let's just go help my friends. Like,
because right now, like, you know, I'm in this whole like, oh, I'm trying to launch my book party thing, and I'm reaching out to people, and these people are like, yes, I will do, you know, and I'm like, but I know these people that I've reached out to over the years, I have been there for them when they've had their babies. I brought diapers and meals and flowers and random whatever without them asking. And now they're like, oh, Nina, this is your time. Cause people weren't really there for me because my last one was a COVID baby. So people just never showed up to anything back then. And the one before that, 2017, people are like, ah, you're on your own. You're fine. So now I think people are like, oh, yeah. You know, this whole parenthood thing, this whole mom thing, it's harder than I thought it was. And I'm so sorry I didn't realize how hard it was, but I remembered that you were there for me. So when I hate the tit for tat, but it teaches them, gosh, this is what life is all about, is being there for each other. Because again, a village was never free. It's not. You have to be there for someone else for them to also be there for you.
Well, and I think this is the beautiful thing about relationships in general, right? Is that sometimes it's not 50-50 all of the time.
And this goes
for like your relationship with your partner, your relationship with your friends, like all these things. Like sometimes the relationship is 20-80 and like that's okay. And it kind of all comes out in the wash, I think, if you have some quality friendships. And I will say, as a girly that is like going through some friendship stuff, like it also sucks to like feel like you had that and then not have it. But still, it is so rewarding. And I love, Paige, what you said earlier of it isn't even tit for tat with that person. It's like building the idea of paying it forward with the hope that it will come back to you. And
yes.
What radicalism is it to just be known as someone that is so generous with your time, with your like capacity to love? Like, that is who I want to be. Like, that's the villager that I want to be, is like, well, I know that Lily will show up because I know she's generous with her time or with her resources, or, you know, and so I don't think it's always this tit for tat. I really do. And I love that you said that it's really not tit for tat, but it's 80-20. Or I think about the friends of mine that don't have kids that have, I can think of a specific, her name is Stacy. I saw her yesterday and she's just like a bright shining light in my life who comes over now. We've been friends since before I had kids. She doesn't have kids. She's not married, but she loves my baby so well. And she will come over after bedtime to hang out with me and knows that I can't go anywhere because I have a baby monitor and it does not go far. But we can sit on my front porch and we can like drink a cup of tea and we can hang out in the dark. And right now our relationship is probably 80-20. And I hope that someday it gets to flip. But thank God for friends that like are willing to step into that too, you know? So
yeah.
I'm loving this whole conversation because I think so often we're focused on, and not wrongly, like, how can I be served? How can like I reap the benefits of this village? But I love that we're talking about how can we also be the village?
Because but I also want to like flip that script, because when I do something else for someone else, I benefit just as much as they do. I feel so good about myself. I'm like, oh, I just did that. I just made that mom's, like, one of my friends, she just had her third baby and she was struggling a bit. And her favorite breakfast is bagel and lox. And I went to a local bakery and got her like 12 bagels and a crap ton of lox and cream cheese. And I just was like, hey, I'm dropping off something at your door. And I felt freaking amazing that whole day, because I was like, I helped a mom today. Like, and without being asked or whatever, because she can put those bagels in the freezer if she don't want them right now, like whatever. But I'm doing that for her, but also, man, we see actually research shows that you benefit just as much when you're doing for something for someone else. So rather than saying, oh, how am I getting something back? Just remember that when you're doing something else, you are getting something back. Like that, it just builds you and reminding you, like, because you're an amazing person. You're an amazing mom. And there's more to you than, you know, changing diapers or whatever stage of life you're in. So yeah, just I like to be like, let's flip that and remember that, yes, you're doing something amazing for that person and that person's going to remember that forever. But also that's something for you too.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, I'm going to change our topic direction. Sorry, guys.
Go for it.
We've been like talking lots of postpartum, lots of village building. I'm curious to know, Nina, from just your doula brain and like the VBACs that you perhaps have supported, what's your number one thing that you could tell a VBAC mom? Like, this is what I see is like the best way to prepare or the best resource you could have, or like, how do you support VBAC moms in that like birth, or, you know, like there's something like special and nuanced about VBAC. So just curious, just from your like 15 years of doulahood.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, when I first started as a doula and I started working first with women who had a cesarean and came to me, I actually remember one of my clients, she ended up needing a C-section. And then when she was pregnant with her second one, she was like, well, I guess I need to have a VBAC now. And I realized in that moment, do you want a VBAC? Is that something that you want? Because yeah, that is an option. You are absolutely, like, for you and your history, you can try for one. Let's do it. I'm here for you. But also, can I ask, like, is that what you want? Because that's okay too. I think that a lot of women feel like, oh, I have to have a vaginal birth for my birth to be worthy, for me to feel like, oh, I'm a good mom because I tried for that. And I think my biggest thing is, first, birth is birth. No matter how your baby came into this world, as long as you came in informed and supported and respected and heard, that's what I want. And then once we cross that answer, I think that was a big one that I had to learn in the beginning, because I thought, oh, I'm a doula, everyone needs to have a VBAC if they had a C-section. And then I realized, no, actually, I can support people having C-sections too. And those are pretty awesome births. And they can be awesome births if we support them as well, just as much as we're supporting vaginal births. So that's a big thing. And then when women are wanting a VBAC, I think they're carrying two different pressures. They're carrying the first pressure of like their story, whether they're, you know, they had one cesarean or two, or how, you know, whatever that looks like, and then trying for that vaginal birth after. I know that they're carrying that first pressure of that story. That's part of their story. And then this like hope of something else. And I think that education and support, yes, is always going to be like my two big things on, all right, do we have the right support? Do you have the best provider that's going to support you? And are we in a place that has really awesome nurses or other caretakers that are going to help you during this time? Because that's going to dictate a lot of your birth experience. But then also recognizing that you are not the only one writing your birth story. Your baby is writing that story too. And recognizing that while we can prepare, and we should prepare, because I don't recommend like signing up for a marathon and like not being prepared. Like, you should kind of have an idea of what you're doing and what your body's going to go through, and being informed and having support and all of that. But unlike marathons, there is a baby in this equation, and we can't control what our baby's going to want to do and with their story. Because I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but my kids and their birth stories, that is their personality. Like, how they came into this world, it's like fits their personality to a T. So recognizing that we have to, just like in motherhood, we also have to learn the lesson of letting go of expectations. We can have wishes and dreams for our children and for our birth, And that's fine. That's good. But recognizing that we can't control it, and that's okay too. And recognizing that there's beauty in other stories, and letting it unfold how it should. So I think that's something that we need to recognize, that happens during birth, because there is this other person that's writing this story with you. And just like you want maybe your child to grow up to be a doctor or whatever, but then they decide they want to be an artist and move to the beach, or, you know, like, we have to let go of these expectations and realize that, you know, there's only so much that I can do and prepare for. And I come knowledge and supported through this, but I also have to learn to let go. And I'm a part of this with my child. Does that make any sense? I hope that makes sense to you guys.
No, it does. Paige and I talk a lot about, like, your preparation matters and it impacts your birth. And there is a level of open-handedness that comes with birth, mm-hmm. that we have to learn to be okay with. And I think that's really hard. I feel like we get argument sometimes when we talk about it on our page. Like, I made a post about something the other day and someone was like, absolutely not. Like, if you're prepared, like, that's the only thing that matters, because, like, preparation and, like, yes, and open-handedness also yes. matters, because I can't control if my baby has D-cells. I can't control if my placenta decides to be over my cervix. Like, I have no control over that. You know, and so right. I just think right. that, and I think that's,
and you
really
shouldn't
hard
have to
hear,
carry
though,
that
when
guilt
you're, like,
of
wanting this. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you shouldn't have to carry that guilt of, oh, you have to control all of this, and if you do some, if you don't prepare perfectly, then that's why it didn't work out. No, 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 no. Like, I am all about a holistic approach, so that is something that's a bit like I love birth workers. I love seeing what they're passionate about and what they're so good at, because we all bring amazing strengths to this field. Something that I'm really big on is a holistic approach with my birth prep education is, yes, we're going to learn about, you know, your options. And so then that way, you know, brains, and you know, all the alternatives that are available to you and all of that, but also preparing your mindset. Because, oh my gosh, we have to get out of that thinking brain to be able to labor. Also working on our movement, our nutrition. I mean, food can be poison or it can be medicine. And there's so many things that can help with your recovery and also with your pregnancy. And there's so many things that we can do. Hydration, oh my goodness, but also partner support. I think when we're supported, gosh, she's going to feel so much more capable and less stress, less anxiety. All that cortisol is not going to be building. Like, so I just, gosh, yes, yes, Lily, everything that you just said. And I just want women to recognize that preparation, yes, is so good. But at the end of the day, we are not in control of everything. We're not actually in life. We're not in control of most things. Like, newsflash, if you didn't recognize that, like, things happen. You know, you can plan and prep, but sometimes life happens. But it doesn't mean you should just life is going to do whatever it wants to me, so I shouldn't do anything about it. No, you should still come in informed and supported. And then that way, when, you know, a curveball comes your way, you're not so blindsided and heartbroken, because you're like, you know what? I prepared for this moment. I have the support around me and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be okay.
It is. Yes. And I appreciate the softness and the reverence that you speak in terms of birth in general. And another thing that our community really talks about is, like, that superiority of birth. Like, is a vaginal delivery better? Is a VBAC better than a CBAC? Or, like, and it broke my heart. And I texted Lily yesterday that there was somebody in our group who said, I consider that I had so many births and so many failures in reference to her vaginal deliveries and in reference to her cesareans. And I, like, and while yes, and I've been thinking about that a lot, because while yes, we want to name our births, we don't want to invalidate how people feel about their birth experiences.
Totally.
But, like, women of strength, if that's how you feel and if that's how you are naming your birth, like, I just plead with you to please try not to stay there. Like, it's okay to feel that way. But I think what's beautiful about birth stories is that it can change
how we view them. And same with pregnancy. If you're terrified of birth and vaginal delivery, and I'm sure you've seen this, Nina, in your clients where you meet them at the very beginning and you see them evolve. Like, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
And you can feel that way postpartum too about your birth experience. Like, you're not stuck and you don't have to stay there if that's not where you want to be. And I think just looking at a cesarean as a failure is a place that maybe I would try to see if we can change that. I don't know.
100%. 100%. Oh my gosh. I totally validate where, like, you're coming from on that page. On, I think you're right. Like, it's okay to mourn your birth plan. That's okay. That's, I think, normal. Just like I was giving the example earlier, you really wanted your son to take over maybe your family's law firm, but that is just not what he wants to do in life. You can mourn those expectations and those wishes and dreams that you had for yourself, including birth. But like, please, just like you said, please talk to somebody, please work through those emotions, because it does not make you any better or worse if things don't go according to plan. Like, all we can do is the best that we can do in that situation. And as long as you are feeling like there is collaborative care, that you're making an informed choice, that your voice is being heard, that things aren't just happening to you, that you are the pilot in this decision making, like, as long as you're feeling that way, there isn't one perfect outcome. It's really about how you were held and supported and respected throughout whatever comes your way. And that breaks my heart when women say that, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you have maybe only heard women just glorifying one type of outcome as the ultimate outcome. But at the end of the day, what is our goal? What is our goal at the very end of the day? Like, I want a healthy and happy mom, and, you know, and we need to support her, and we're going to do the best we can with these circumstances. We're going to prepare as much as we can, but we're also not just going to prepare for what you want birth to look like, but we're going to prepare for the things that could happen. And what sounds good to you if this were to happen? Oh, you need to be induced? Okay. If you needed to be induced, what does that look like to you? What do you feel comfortable with? Okay. If you stall out and are not progressing, what do you feel comfortable with? Like, we have these conversations. So then that way you feel like, you know what? I've prepared for this, and I'm not so scared, and I'm not so feeling like, oh, I'm just going to defer to the professionals, which, if you want to do that, okay, that's a choice. That's fine. But you also have the choice to take power and know what feels good to you and your values and your goals. But at the end of the day, there isn't one better than, worse than. It's all about, how does the mother feel after this experience?
Yeah. And I will say that Women of Strength, we recognize that obstetric violence exists. We recognize that many of you hold traumatic birth stories that you did not have the opportunity to have this informed experience that we're talking about. Like, I want to make that abundantly clear that we're not saying that you should just like try to tie a bow on your birth that was traumatic. But what Paige was saying was like, your feelings about your birth can shift. I have a friend she's going through a divorce, and she posted about how like you can forgive someone and not want anything to do with them anymore. Like, you can wish the best for them and not want to have anything to do with them. And I think that that's a little bit how we can feel about our births. Like, we can forgive ourselves for the decisions that we've made and choose to make different ones next time. We can see that that was wrong and that was horrible. And we can say, I'm not currently having to relive my trauma all the time. I can work with a birth trauma therapist to get through this and to feel maybe differently about my birth. It does not mean that you are going to just say like, oh yeah, everything about my birth was fine. I love that I was abused. Awesome. That is not what we're saying at all. And I just I know that that's not what any of us are saying, but wanted to really say that out loud so that women that are listening know that it's not about like tying a bow on it, but you can process it and you can start to feel better about the experience. I was telling Paige, you know, my births feel very different. Like, I feel like I labored with my first for 44 hours and then had my cesarean. I very much feel like there's a stopping point in my birth story. Like, it feels like I was doing birth and I did labor and then birth happened to me. Like, that's how I feel about my own story. And it's actually very different from how I feel about my clients who I've supported in their cesarean births, which is an interesting, like, dichotomy to be in as a doula. Whereas, like, my VBAC feels like I got to really participate in birth. And I imagine that I would have been able to achieve the same feelings of participation even in a cesarean with just different types of care. So I think that that's really what we're saying.
But also, Lily, like, I want to say that you did the best that you could with the information that you had with the situation that you were in. And that's why you can forgive yourself in those moments. And that's why I'm like, yeah, you can mourn that, but also give yourself, like, you did the best you could in that. It's not like you were just like, I give him the towel. I'm just going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Okay, well, this is like snaps all around. I wish we could just chat forever, but we can't. So, Nina, before we go, can you tell everyone where can we find your book? Where can we find you? Where can we find your podcast? All the things.
I think the easiest way to find everything is through my website, which is baby-chick.com. So you can find my book, the podcast, social media, all of the things on there. So that's the easiest thing to do. You can also, most people also follow me on Instagram. So if you're like, oh, I want to see more of what this chick is talking about. So yeah, if people are like, baby chick, like, no, it's not about farm animals. I swear. I'm just the chick that works with moms and babies. Okay. So let's put that out there. So you can then learn more about the chick that works with moms and babies at the baby chick on Instagram.
Yay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. This conversation was, I think, just took so many beautiful directional turns. And I'm just really excited to let the women of strength in our community tune in.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.